Hello, thank you for staying so long. My name is Adi. I'm from Ben Gurion University in the Negev, Israel. And we established earlier in this talk that there is global warming, and it's also affecting salinizations of soils. And we're talking about now today about 20% of agricultural lands are salinized, and arid and semi-arid areas are more exposed to these processes due to high evaporation from the soil surface. So, I'm sure most of you are familiar with this Masten-Hoffmann model that was developed 40 years ago. And they set a salinity sensitivity threshold for many agricultural crops. And in the same article, they mentioned that many crops seem less salt tolerant when grown under hot, dry conditions than under cool, humid ones. That means that they recognize that there are factors affecting transpiration rate and the plant water uptake, and though the plant sensitivity to salinity. But they did not consider it in the model. Also, the EC values mentioned here are an average of a whole growth season, and they also didn't consider the fact that those values are changing during a growth season. But if you go to the FAO recommendations until today, 40 years later, they're still based on this model. And for example, for peppers and tomatoes, the threshold is 1.5 and 2.5 decisiemens per meter. And from above this threshold, per 1 decisiemens per meter, it will cause a fixed decrease in the yield of 14 and 10%. So what we are trying to do is to improve parameters and hopefully to create a better model that does consider effect on transpiration rate and changes during the growth season. And we are doing it with the cooperation with the Forschungszentrum in Jülich, Germany. So water are moving from the soil into the roots, up to the stem and to the transparent leaves. Along with this water, solids are moving as well, and we also assuming that sodium is moving and accumulating around the roots. So my research is about the upscaling of measurements of sodium at the interface of the root and the soil, but in this talk I will focus only on the small-scale measurements that we are doing. So I'm going to introduce you with the system that I'm working with. Those are rhizoslides. Those are capillary sheets made of fiberglass that allow us to grow plants on them. We were growing tomatoes for 3 to 4 weeks. And it allows us also to track changes in architecture, daily growth, and development of the root system in response to different salinity levels of the irrigation. So we had plants growing under 5 levels of salinity, from 2 to 10 decisiemens per meter. It was 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10. And we grow them under two different transpiration rates. One was normal. The plants were exposed to the atmosphere. And half of the plants were kept under this plastic sheet. It was transparent, so the plants can still do photosynthesis, but we kept relatively high humidity inside, so the transpiration rate was reduced to about 60%. And by the end of the growth season, we took measurements from the slides. So I was cutting discs from around the root, which is disc number one, and then in the growing distance from the root. And the diameter of each disc is 0.7 centimeters, and from those discs, we measure the sodium concentration. So here you can see the results of the normal rate experiment. The blue columns are the closest distance to the root, disc number one, and the green and the red ones are the further distance away from the root. So you see that there is a correlation, of course, between the EC of the irrigation to the sodium concentration, but at any case, the closest distance to the root had higher concentration, a significantly different from what we call the bulk. And we are talking about a very small distance, than less of 1 centimeter away from the root. This is also emphasized the importance of the location of the measurement that we are doing, because taking measurements from the general root zone apparently is not enough to see what the root is actually seeing. And with the low transpiration experiment, we got very similar trends, but in most cases, under low transpiration, we had less sodium accumulating around the roots. And it was more similar to the bulk comparing with the normal transpiration rate. This experiment also allowed us to take photos on a daily basis. And I'm going to explain how we're moving from experiments to simulations. So we took photos every day, it's hundreds of photos, and then using a GIMP, we made digital files out of them, and then we can put a real root system into our swim and to simulate a real root system. Another parameter that was missing in the model is the effect of salinity on the hydraulic conductivity of the root system. So we took the rhizoslides, we put them inside a pressure chamber, and we measured the hydraulic conductivity of the roots growing on the rhizoslides. So the first experiment was to see if we see any effect at all of saline irrigation. So I was comparing only between two treatments. The blue ones is an EC of 1.5, that is Siemens per meter. It's only water with fertilizers. And the yellow dots are EC of 4.5. And you can see that the hydraulic conductivity was reduced almost by half comparing to the normal irrigation treatment. And if you look on the averages, you can see a significant difference between them. So this allows to continue and have a larger experiment. And again, here I was checking 5 levels of salinity, 2 to 10, and that is Siemens per meter under 2 transpiration rates. And you can see that obviously when the irrigation is more saline, we see reduction in the hydraulic conductivity. But you can also see that the transpiration rates have a very big effect on the hydraulic conductivity of the roots. So under low transpiration rate, we could grow plants on EC 6 or 8, and they had very similar results of hydraulic conductivity compared with normal rate transpiration of EC 2. And using those parameters and the scans that I showed you before allow us to do the first simulation of the rhizoslides on the sodium accumulation. And you can see that the sodium is being accumulated on the interface between the roots and the paper. You don't see it so much in the spread all over the paper sheet, and it's very similar to the results we got in the real experiments. Another small scale that we are handling with is scanning roots and sodium with magnetic resonance imaging, MRI. This part of my research I'm doing in the Forschungszentrum in Germany. So you can see here an MRI tube with tomato plants growing in it. And this entire tube is going into the MRI. And also we found a very high correlation between the concentration of sodium inside the tube in the soil solution and the intensity of signal we are getting from the MRI. That means that MRI can not only detect sodium in the soil, it can also detect differences in concentrations. And what we did, each plant, each tube was scanned twice, one time for protons, so we can get the image of the root system. We have to scan when the water content in the tube is about 20%, because otherwise we cannot see a difference between the root and the soil. If the soil is too wet, then we cannot see any contrast between the roots and the soil. And you can also see a marker tube inside that we had a known concentration of sodium, so we can compare it later. Second scan was with a sodium coil. So not every ion can be magnetically excited, but sodium can be excited by a magnet. The only problem is that it's much harder to excite sodium. So the scanning time is much longer, and the resolution that we are getting is usually lower comparing to the proton scan, but still we can see sodium. So all the gray clouds you see around the roots, those are sodium concentrations. It's very important to say that those tubes were irrigated from the bottom. That means that the sodium was being taken up where we have roots inside the tube and was accumulating around the roots. We almost didn't see any sodium in areas without roots inside the tube. And again, it's a pretty small one. The diameter of this tube is 4 centimeters. That means that even in a tiny distance away from the roots, we already see a big differences in sodium concentration. So we have now also a running experiment there comparing between different levels of salinity and different transpiration rates. So hopefully next time I will go, I will have much more results about it. So to conclude everything, we see that the sodium concentration at the root soil interface is higher comparing with the bulk, even in a very short distance. And sodium concentration at the root soil interface is being affected by transpiration rate. And salinity affects root hydraulic conductivity. and transpiration rate have a greater effect on root hydraulic conductivity. That means that for farmers in Israel, for example, that the groundwater or saline, it means that we might have a very big impact on the way we irrigate crops with a saline irrigation if we do it in the winter or summertime. It's really increasing our possibilities to use that and improve the way we are irrigating our crops today. And in the end, MRI can detect differences in sodium concentrations and can serve as a non-invasive method because we can track the plants with time. But at the same time, we need to remember it's a very long, each scan like that can take up to 24 hours. And it's also not very cheap until they will invent a cheaper MRI. But it's still amazing to see it. So I would like to thank my colleagues and my supervisor that also sit here, and for the German-Israel Foundation for supporting this research. And thank you very much. Exactly. So it's not making the plant more resistant to salinity, but it makes it see less sodium around it. So, yes, that's the thing.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's really cool that you can see the sodium with the MRI. That's really exciting.
I agree. It's very exciting.
But I wanted to ask about the hydraulic conductivity. Did you measure that when the roots were still in the different saline concentrations?
Yes.
And so then could it be also that, you know, that there's more salt in the water than there's osmotic pulling the water back from the top? So, you know, is there a conflict between measuring the actual pump conductivity within the root system and just like the strength that needs to pull water away from the salt in the external solution? I'm probably not saying that like a real water physicist would have done.
Of course that it's affecting it, and also we were considering the fact that it's affecting the xylem vessels themselves. It makes them smaller and more narrow, so also took cuts from the roots, and we are analyzing them now with a microscope. And I also had this experiment in a greenhouse experiment, and then we measured the hydraulic conductivity with a high pressure flow meter. And it worked in a different way with the from the pressure chamber, and we got similar results with bigger plants. And also, their roots are being analyzed at the moment.
Sounds great.
Yes.
So another question? Yes, sir.
Were you concerned that when you put the barrier over the top of the plant, which might slow down photosynthesis?
Yes, we thought about it. We took measurements of leaf area index to see if they were smaller compared with the open ones, and we didn't find any significant difference in that. So it stopped it a little bit, but not enough to make the plants significantly smaller comparing to the normal transpiration rate.
And I have an additional question, if that's okay. Do you have a hypothesis of what physiological mechanism reduced the hydraulic conductivity?
So we thought about a few options. One is the diameter of the xylem vessels, and I was also advised to check the thickness of the suberin around the vessels because it might be affected by salinity, so this will be our next step to try to dye it in the root cuts and to see if it's somehow affecting the water movement into the plant.
Thank you.
Thank you.